Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Dais, a podcast about the stories taking place in and around El Paso County, Colorado. I'm your host, Scott Anderson, and today I am joined by Mindy Scholes, the Strategic Services Manager here with El Paso County. How are you doing today, Mindy?
Good, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I appreciate you making the time today. Before we get to it, though, I want to quickly add that if listeners are interested in more stories about people doing good in and around El Paso County, or hearing from county leadership about local government priorities and how they operate, you can find additional episodes of this podcast on your podcast platform of choice. But to get into things, Mindy, I was wondering if you could start by giving some background about yourself and how you came to be here at El Paso County.
Sure. I moved to Colorado from Salt Lake City in 2013. I worked in a city called South Jordan as a code enforcement officer. I was promoted to code enforcement supervisor in South Jordan, and I worked there for about 6 years. And when I moved to Colorado Springs, I specifically looked for a job in that same field. And I was lucky enough to get hired on in El Paso County, not in code enforcement, unfortunately. But I started my career in El Paso County with the Department of Motor Vehicles in 2013. And I worked there for about a year and a half just to get my foot in the door with the county. And then I found a job with code enforcement in 2015 as a code enforcement officer.
Nice. So what is it about code enforcement that like draws you to it? Why be interested in that field?
I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, and when I went into that field, my daughter was young, and my husband was in the military, and I was interested in going into law enforcement, and I didn't want my daughter to have two parents in a job that was dangerous.
Right. That's fair.
And I came across a job posting for code enforcement, and I'd never heard of it before. And I said, well, this sounds interesting. You know, kind of has the same draw of law enforcement. And I got the job, and man, I was hooked.
You were hooked.
I was hooked, and working with them on a different level, not on a criminal level, it was just very interesting to me. You know, I never heard of zoning.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
And now I'm dealing with people that have no idea what it is either.
Yeah.
So I'm able to to relate to them.
Yeah.
And so when I left Utah, I wanted to stick with that. Mm-hmm. So I was lucky enough to be able to.
Awesome.
And, of course, I just love El Paso County. And I've been with the county for 11 years now.
Oh, wow. That is very cool. So can you share some information just about your department? So the code enforcement part of it falls under the Planning and Community Development Department. Is that correct?
Correct. And I could do a whole podcast on just how wonderful my department is.
Oh, well, go ahead and start now. I am already recording.
So the Planning and Community Development Department is made up of three divisions. We have the Planning Division, we have the Code Enforcement Division, and the Administrative Services Division. And I manage the Code Enforcement and the Administrative Services Division. The Administrative Services Division reviews plans for, you know, if you want to build a detached garage or a deck. Of course, they do a variety of things. I could also do another podcast on the just the million things that they also do to support the planning department. Mm-hmm. Code enforcement enforces the zoning code, the land development code, and certain county ordinances. And then the planning division processes development applications. And so that's what the planning department does, three divisions. We are a small department. We only have about 24 staff, which is very small when you think about what this department does to support the development of the county.
Yeah.
But it's a mighty and powerful group of people.
I'm sure they would all agree. So for the code enforcement side of that specifically, you talk about land development and zoning. What are some aspects of that that, you know, you said people may not be familiar with? Like, how can residents interact with those type of processes?
So I'll explain the difference between the two.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
So zoning, our land development code, is the use of the land.
Okay.
So if you want to run a business from your property or develop your land to create a subdivision or store your vehicles. So my neighbor has a bunch of junked vehicles.
Okay.
That would be your use in the land.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinances is kind of like a condition. So your tall weeds or a bunch of junk
mm-hmm.
accumulating on a property. Those would be regulated under county ordinances. So that's kind of the difference between the two.
Okay.
So if I wanted to run a business on my property, first step would be to call the planning department and see if it would be allowed under zoning.
Okay.
If someone's notified that they have a violation on the property,
mm-hmm.
say the business.
Okay.
They are in violation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But where code enforcement comes in, it's not to drop the hammer. It's not to, you know, point fingers and drag them through the mud over it.
Right.
What we aim to do is to educate them about the code, the requirements,
mm-hmm.
what the purpose of zoning is. And then point them back to our department and say, here's the planning department, here's you know, the planning division, the administrative services division, here's the resources and the staffing that you need to contact to find out what your options are.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a process that you can go through to legalize this business?
Right.
What I always stress to people is, you know, they think the process is cumbersome, it's difficult, but the process is not meant to go through backwards.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I always say it's, you know, when you rent a car at the airport and they have those spikes at the end when you drive through
right.
to get the car, you're not supposed to go through it backwards.
It usually ends pretty poorly.
Right. Yeah. And so I always encourage people, if you want to do anything with your property, I mean, there's property rights, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But your neighbor also has property rights to use their property how it's meant to be enjoyed.
Right.
Without their neighbor running an asphalt mixing company or...
I gotcha.
You know, we, for example, in the eastern part of the county, there was a property owner who was bringing back the remains of... he was a veterinarian.
Okay.
So he is bringing back the remains of animals that he had to put down.
Okay.
He was bringing back the remains to cremate them.
Okay.
He established a crematorium on his property.
Mm-hmm.
So the neighbors would open their windows to enjoy the nice breeze
sure.
of the eastern
plains, yeah.
plains of the county. And the smell from the crematorium would fill their home.
Probably not my favorite smell.
No. Yeah. But this is a perfect example where zoning would say that is not allowed.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, and that's something there where a process would not allow for it. So a code enforcement officer, yes, they're going to notify you if you're in violation. But they're also going to educate you on, one, the regulations, requirements, and then point you to the resources available to educate you on what's available, the options you have to remedy the violation, and then give you some time to go through that process to hopefully legalize what it is you want to do on your property, if right. that's an option.
Yeah.
Or it could be as simple as clean up your property.
Right.
Right, because if it was your neighbor that had all the junked cars or the trash everywhere,
mm-hmm.
you would want the same.
Right. I know that you guys often work with other entities, whether it's within the county itself. Sometimes you work with the city on different projects and things like that. So can you talk about how working with those other organizations benefits the work that you guys do in code enforcement?
We work a lot with our own department. A lot of the cases we come across are on uses that are not allowed in the zoning district or on uses that require zoning approval. And we would refer those property owners back to the planning division or the administrative services division for a permit. Or we will also work with county attorney's office for cases that a code officer cannot resolve to gain voluntary compliance. Those cases would be elevated to the county attorney's office. We work closely with the Department of Public Works. We have coordinated with the City of Colorado Springs on a IGA for homeless camp cleanup, which that entails just clearing confusion. Is just another option for property owners to use the city's quality of life team. So the county does not have its own homeless camp cleanup team.
Mm-hmm.
So if a camp is identified on a property in the county on private property, we could get an estimate from the quality of life team. And if the private property owner says that estimate looks good to me, The county then would contract with the city's quality of life team to clean up that camp on private property and just contract with the city for that cleanup. So
right.
that's how the IGA works.
Okay.
Some people thought that the city was going to come in and just take over all the homeless camps in the county, and that's not how that would work.
Right.
So we do, we partner with public health on complaints that we receive. So code enforcement is kind of a catch-all.
Mm-hmm.
If people don't know where the complaint needs to go, it funnels to code enforcement. And then we would in turn just kind of figure out which department would handle it. So that does give us an opportunity to partner with other departments, which is pretty neat.
Yeah. I think one nice thing that is an outcome from all of that is your ability to get connections with all of those different departments and everyone's sort of understanding the work that you guys do. I think it is still a little bit difficult maybe on the outside for people to sometimes understand what code enforcement does, what their role is, what they, are in charge of, what they may not be in charge of, and you needing to refer them to different departments. So if you were able to dispel a couple of myths about the code enforcement department that you've heard from other people or that you've seen a lot, what would some of those myths be? And maybe dispel those rumors and set the record straight for us.
Well, I have a few.
Okay, great.
So the first one is that we're picking on you. So code enforcement is complaint-based. So the officers do not go around and just wait for you to do something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we often get calls that the officers are targeting somebody or picking on somebody. So when code enforcement receives a complaint, they are obligated to check it out, right? So every resident has the right to submit a complaint if they believe a violation is occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And the officers will look into it. And if a violation is occurring, they will take the proper steps to investigate.
Right.
And the enforcement action.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, a lot of times complaints are submitted anonymously.
Right.
We don't know who submitted a complaint. And if the same complaint submitted over and over, we can't reach out to the person and say, hey, we looked into it.
Right.
It's we can't prove it or we need some more information.
Mm-hmm.
So it can come across as, code enforcement keeps driving by, but, we are looking into it.
Yeah.
Which leads into the next, that code enforcement doesn't do anything. So if someone is submitting anonymous complaints and they're not leaving their information for us to reach out for more information or to explain why we're not doing anything. It could be we can't do anything, or something maybe is not a violation, then it's going to look like we're not doing anything, right?
Right.
So I always encourage people to submit their information, give us their phone number, their email, or call us to ask for an update so we can explain why nothing's been done instead of just assuming nothing's being done. So one, we're not picking on you. Two, reach out if you think nothing's being done so we can get some more information on why you may think that.
Mm-hmm. So along with dispelling all these myths, I think you have a very interesting role where you get to see some interesting things, let's call it. Interesting is the word I'll use. Can you share a couple of those stories? Just like those things you come across, you're like, boy, this is new. Who would have thought about that?
Sure. So a few years ago, we had a resident. Mm-hmm. Use tires to build a tornado shelter.
Sure.
But it was never a shelter, so it was just ended up being this
big stack of tires. This
big stack of tires that was partially buried, and we ended up having to dig them all out, and we removed 999
tires. How disappointing that it ends at 999.
Yeah. And then we had another case where he was collecting trash. It was just little garbage. And he dug this huge pit, and all his household garbage went there. I mean, there was treadmills in this. I mean, this is how big the trash pile was. Treadmills, couches, beds. But away from that, they were putting canned foods. I don't know why it was separated. I'm not sure. But our contractor had a skid steer, and that's how they were scooping everything up. Yeah. So they rolled over cans, and some of them exploded.
Sure.
And the combination of the cans that exploded smelled just like pizza. I mean, I guess it could have been worse.
There were a lot of ways you could go with that. Pizza was not the thing I was expecting you to say. So, no, pleasant.
It could have been worse.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had some really bad ones. I mean, we've gone out to, cleanups where, we go there for one thing, to clean up the property, mm-hmm. and unfortunately we get, I mean, most of our cases, property owners voluntarily comply. They clean up the property themselves.
Yeah.
And in the cases where they don't, we have to go out there and clean it up. Mm-hmm. So we'll go out there for one thing, and then it uncovers other things. So people living in vehicles and campers, which, you find some people are for, and a lot of people are not for.
Yeah.
But with this one property, we go out there and we find all these random buckets, and we find that they're just full of sewage from people living in mm-hmm. RVs. And this is on a residential property. Someone's living in a house. You go there for one thing.
Right.
And then next thing, we have to get a septic company out there to properly dispose of. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
Not in a funny way, but.
Right. Well, and it begs the question, what keeps you coming back on a daily basis?
Well, a couple things. One, no days like the other.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. Two, I have an amazing team of code enforcement officers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only six of them for the entire county.
Jeez.
Only six of them.
Having a good team is goes a long way.
Yes.
I've seen that in just about every job I've had, based on the team of people I'm working with. Like, it either makes the job awesome or it makes the job really, really difficult. And so, yeah, I mean, you can be doing a lot of difficult things and still be enjoying it because of the coworkers that you have. So it sounds like that's kind of the case. Kind of the case here.
Yep. And
that's great.
I'm in the office not getting my hands dirty anymore.
Sure, so sure. Good place to be, it sounds like.
It's them out there now doing the work.
Yeah.
And it's their interesting stories now that keep me going.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. So is there anything else that we haven't talked about yet that you think would be just important for residents to know, whether it's about code enforcement specifically or anything regarding the planning and community development department?
I would say for code enforcement, if anyone receives a notice from code enforcement, to contact the officer on that notice. We're happy to, well, let me rephrase. The officer is happy to meet with the property owner at their property, at our office, you know, correspond over the phone, via email. You know, that's what we want to do. You know, we don't want to be the hammer. We don't want to send these notices, take anyone to court.
Right.
We want to work with people. That's our main goal, is, you know, education and compliance. Mm-hmm. For the planning department, again, it's just the best group of people, and who are there to help people go through the process, you know, educate, and, you know, really, you know, if they want to develop their property, get approval for their use, that's what our department's there for. Mm-hmm. So give us a call if you want to establish a use. We'll help you through it.
And what's that phone number if they do want to give you a call?
719-520-6300.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you, Mindy. I appreciate you taking the time today and for all the work that you do here at El Paso County. So thanks for being here.
Thank you, Scott.
If you are interested in listening to additional episodes of Beyond the Dais, be sure to look for us on Podbean or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.